Daniel 9, this is the prophecy of the 70 weeks. We've got to see the context. Daniel, verse 2, understood by the books, and I guess refers to the scrolls of Jeremiah, the number of the years about which the word of Yahweh had come to Jeremiah about the accomplishing of the desolations of Jerusalem, even 70 years. So he's saying, look, the 70 years are up. Let's be restored. But then he realizes that that restoration was conditional upon their repentance. And so he utters this very heartfelt prayer of repentance, as if he thinks that by doing that he can bring about the restoration. And yet Ezekiel 14 says that even Daniel could not avert the tragedy that was to befall Judah, as if, yeah, even Daniel could not bring this about, because it required a wider repentance than just that of one man. And so I suggest that the 70-year desolation is in fact extended. The 70 weeks, the 70 times 7, is in fact a rescheduling of it. And that's why he's so desolate when he understands this, that he's not going to live to see it. And the whole thing has been rescheduled and extended. But it's not the first time that happened. When the first group of captives go into captivity in Babylon, Ezekiel is amongst them. He sits down by the river Kebar, and he's told to lie on his side for 40 days, a day for a year. And by doing so, he would bear the iniquity of Judah. And I think the idea is he would bear the punishment of their sin. As if after 40 years, the punishment could be over. And I think he does it so publicly, lying or sleeping on his side for that period, so that the captives who were already there in Babylon could see that and repent and accept that this representative man, in his, as it were, death and resurrection, is taking our iniquity. He's taking the punishment for our sin. But they didn't. They didn't get it. His acted parable all that time was, as it were, in vain for them. So there could have been something, shall we say, could have happened after 40 years. But it didn't. In Zechariah, you have the seven-branched candlestick, which all up would have had 49 lamps on it. And you think of how the land, according to Leviticus 26, was to enjoy her Sabbaths. Because they had sinned, they'd broken the covenant, they were taken into exile, so that the land might enjoy her Sabbaths, her Sabbath years, which they had not kept, and then be restored at the Jubilee. And the language of Isaiah, particularly about the restoration from Babylon, is very much in terms of the proclamation of the year of Jubilee. Well, that would have been 49 years. That didn't work either, and so the 70 years period is there in Jeremiah, but now, as we see in Daniel 9, that also isn't going to happen, and again it is extended and deferred. And yet again it didn't work out, because when Messiah the Prince, the Lord Jesus, came, they crucified their Messiah, and again they would not repent. And so these things are again reapplied and rescheduled to the very last days. I think it's a little bit pointless trying to work out how it all could be fulfilled or whatever, working out day for a year, time periods and so on, because none of them seem to have a clear starting point, and I don't think that's the intention. The idea is that finally he that shall come will come. But you see here God's extreme sensitivity to human repentance. He is not going to force people. He is always going to give people absolute free will and respect that free will. God respects us because he is so careful to encourage, but not to manipulate, not to force. You cannot force love. You cannot force someone to love you. You cannot force somebody to repent. And he doesn't do that. And so we need not worry in that sense, even if things are further delayed, because finally, as I say, he who shall come will come. It will be a wonderful day when it finally comes, but it will happen. Now, as I began by saying, Daniel perceives that the repentance of Israel is required for this to happen. I think that's what the Lord meant when he spoke about the beginnings of fruit on the fig tree of Israel, that the generation that saw that would not pass away till all is fulfilled. And so the beginnings of spiritual fruit are the sign, I think, that for sure that is the generation. A critical amount of repentance known only to God has come forth, that finally the harvest can be reaped. And of course, what God is looking for is spiritual fruit in the vineyard. That's what he wants. And he is going to send his son to receive that fruit from us, from his people. And Daniel single-handedly, he tries to repent, as it were, on behalf of all of them. That's why he keeps saying, "We have sinned." He doesn't cut himself off from his sinful people. He, all the time, is we have done shamefully. And I think that is all the more commendable for Daniel, because he had really been a man alone when he was a young guy, really nothing more than a teenager in the court there in Babylon, refusing to eat the king's meat while the other Jewish boys, for the most part, all ate it and went along with nominal idol worship and so on. He was alone, him and his three friends. He was really a strong young individual. And he would have been very tempted to think, I'm making all this effort to uphold the principles of God and the rest of my people are not bothered at all. They're just sucked up in all this materialism and the wonder of the court of Babylon. Oh, shame on them. And yet, despite that, he overcame that to his credit and identifies himself completely here with his sinful people. We. And he says a couple of times, as in verse 7, shame of face belongs to us this day. He feels ashamed in God's presence. Ezra is even more powerful when he says, I blush, and I cannot lift up my face because of my shame of face. Now, you only blush when you're in the presence of somebody. And he felt God's presence that strongly. And it's the same here with Daniel. He feels shame of face. He feels absolutely ashamed in God's presence, not because of his own sins in that sense, but because of his total identity with his people. It's a big challenge there to those who think that, I don't agree with this, that, or the other in the church I'm pushing off. No, can't associate with that. No, guilt by association, contamination by communion, got to be out of here. No, that is totally wrong thinking. You cannot and must not separate yourself from God's people. If you go out of the body of Christ, well, you've gone out of the body of Christ, haven't you? You actually are part of that body, and like it or not, no matter how weak that body is, like the faithful in the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, you are part of it, and that's it. There is no place to go, as it were, apart from to your own insular self-righteousness. Well, as I say, he feels this shame of face. He feels so much the actual presence of God and the total identity, as I say, that he has with his people. But even that is not enough. He keeps saying, "We have not obeyed your voice. We have transgressed your law. Therefore, this is all just that has come upon us. But now, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, please forgive us. Let your wrath be turned away," and so forth. Because he sees the 70 years are up, and yet the restoration has not happened. And so he figures that, well, that's because we've not repented. So let me try on behalf of all of us. But you can't force, as I say, repentance for other people. And God doesn't, in that sense, accept it, because he sends Gabriel the angel to tell him that, well, yeah, 70 years has become 70 times 7. And more time is needed before the holy city can have its punishment finished and reconciliation, verse 24, can be made for iniquity. Well, as I say, you go back to Ezekiel there in Ezekiel 4, he carried the iniquity, he bore the iniquity of Judah for 40 days or 40 years, a day for a year. And yet, clearly that didn't work, because still reconciliation must be made, verse 24, for the iniquity. There has to be a longer period to finish the judgment for their disobedience. And so, what you can say then is that it could have changed with Ezekiel, but they didn't want to believe in the symbolic death and resurrection of that man, who was their sin bearer, just as Jesus was, according to Isaiah 53. So you see here, as I say, the sensitivity of God that leads him to be somewhat open-ended in his plans and in his purpose. But don't be discouraged by that, because God is the God of individuals, and he that shall come will come, and will not unnecessarily delay, and indeed the Lord seems to say that unless the Lord shortens the days at the end, no flesh will be saved. So he will come. But you see how open his purpose is, and you see this, I think, in your own life, that such and such a period was intended for you to work in that company or to go through a certain domestic situation or health situation. But it might have been extended because you didn't get the message, or it might have been shortened because you perceive what you're being taught.